When the world shut down nearly 3 years ago, we had to find a way to stay in touch with you, our customers. Our TopCon Talks agriculture podcast became one of the most important means for us to keep up on what's happening in your fields, your barns, and in many ways, the best way for us to share with you how our solutions could keep you running through things even more efficiently. That's where Dave Orr jumped in. He became the voice of our podcast. Other hosts stepped in as needed, but Dave has been the constant. As host, he shares stories, expertise, and more about the ag industry. He helped keep you in touch with technology and the solutions your farm needs. The time has come for Dave to step away from podcast hosting as his role within TopCon continues to expand. Dave, we can't thank you enough for your passion, your expertise, and your leadership in taking the podcast to levels we never thought even possible. You shared our story and that of our customers and our partners. Again, thanks, Dave. It means a lot to all of us.
Hello, welcome to the TopCon Talks Agriculture Podcast. We are thrilled that you are here to join us today. My name is Dan Hendricks, and I am your host for today's podcast. As you heard at the top of the podcast, the great Dave Orr has moved on to some other responsibilities here at TopCon Agriculture, and he will no longer be the regular host of this podcast. I have to say I'm grateful to Dave for his leadership, his passion, his knowledge since this podcast started. And I'm sure Dave is somewhere in the great white north in Canada listening to us. So, Dave, we love you. We appreciate you. And thanks, brother. We have a great podcast today and a great episode for you. We are talking about the evolution of social media in agriculture. Without a doubt, social media has become such a big part of our lives now. You'll find us Facebooking, TikToking, Instagramming, tweeting. We post on LinkedIn. I even remember the days when I had a MySpace account, just to show you how old I am. But it's hard to deny that social media plays such a big part of our lives today. But on today's podcast, we want to focus in on the evolution of social media in agriculture, how our growers are using it, how ag companies are leveraging it, and is there a benefit to it for farmers? And maybe you're listening today and you don't use social media to follow farming-related topics or social influencers. You just might learn or hear something today that might pique your interest to go in and check it out. We have a very special guest today joining today's TopCon podcast, and his name is Mike Burkhart. Mike Burkhart is the pride of Plainville, Indiana. He's a husband, a father, a lifelong farmer, an Indiana Hoosier fan, and a longtime personal friend of mine. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Why, thank you. And quite the introduction. I'm impressed. I don't know that I can hold up to that.
The pride of Plainville, Indiana. That's correct, right? That is you?
That's it. I live in the suburbs right there where it's all good, buddy.
Well, yeah, I was going to include former athlete into the introduction, but I didn't want to show your age.
Yeah, that might be a little rough, but by the gray hair, you can kind of figure that out real quick.
Yeah. Well, Mike has joined us today because he has a passion for agriculture, number one, but there's also something very interesting about Mike that may surprise you. A couple years ago, Mike took out his iPhone, downloaded an app called TikTok, created an account, and started making TikTok videos. So, Mike, tell us, how long ago was it that you started doing that?
Well, whenever we had the pandemic in 2020, I started watching TikTok. That was about all we had to do. We had to find something to do. Everybody was just pretty much cooped up and nowhere to go. So in May of 2020, started watching TikToks, and after about 6 months, actually, today is the anniversary date of the first TikTok that I ever posted. So I told my wife after watching for 6 months, I said, you know, everybody's told us that we kind of have a story to tell and that we need to write a book. But I think that this is probably where we should start, that I think that this is a quick way to get that information out there and try to do the best we can to maybe even help other people along the way.
And what did your kids have to say when you told them you were doing this?
Well, that's the interesting part. So after a couple of weeks, why it had grown to like 15,000 followers. And so I told my wife,
wow.
I said, we probably should call our son in Colorado and let him know that, because he's got kids that are probably on TikTok. So whenever I called to tell him, I said, hey, just want to give you a heads up. Dad's on TikTok. And the response was, yeah. Oh my gosh, Dad, what are you doing on TikTok? You know, that's just where girls go and they do all this stuff on there. And what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm not really not doing anything all that special, just telling our story.
Right.
His mother spoke up and said, well, he must be doing something right, because he's got 15,000 followers and he's only been on there 2 weeks. And uh-huh. He's like, well, you people don't understand. That's 15. That's not 15,000. That's 150 followers. And she said, no, it's 15,000. He said, well, maybe 1,500, but not 15,000. And she said, what does 15K mean to you? And his response was, and this kid's got a PhD in psychology. So his response was, holy smokes, Dad, what have you done? So my kids have been a little surprised that Dad can pick that up and run with it.
Right. Yeah. Give it to the old man. He's doing it. Shaming the kids. So how many videos have you uploaded to date?
Sometimes it's one a day. Here recently, it's only been like a couple a week, but mm-hmm. We've been really busy. But I would hate to even guess, Dan. I don't even have a clue. You'd have to go back and count them, because it doesn't count them for you. So I don't have a clue. I'm satisfied it's... After 2 years, it's got to be approaching 1,000. I don't know.
Wow. Okay. And help the listeners understand what the content is for some of the social media posts that you make on TikTok.
Well, in the beginning, I just started telling stories of things that's happened on the farm. And then I also started talking about our son, Travis, and his accident. Started talking about some of the things that we learned along the way. And then started mm-hmm. talking about our foundation that we put together to help families, you know, whenever they're going through some type of medical emergency. And that has grown tremendously since we've gotten on TikTok, and it has exploded. It's been amazing to watch the people on TikTok and how they have wrapped their arms around our foundation and have really gathered what we do and supported what we do with the foundation. It's been an amazing process. But along the way, also, we was getting ready for an equipment sale. So I was climbing into the cab of every piece of equipment and giving the details on everything we had. And then prior to the auction, which was January 16th of 2021, prior to that, about Christmas time, had a buddy call. His name's Growing Corn 2020. And he said, hey, I think we've got a group of TikTok folks that want to come support you for your sale. Next thing I know, we've got 50 people in our garage after a sale doing a big fish fry and just throwing the food out on the table. And that's kind of how mm-hmm. that all has evolved. But it's gotten,
right.
But also along the way, too, is trying to help younger farmers and other farmers understand the good and the bad that comes along right. with agriculture. I'm not afraid to talk about the bad stuff that's out there, because farming has changed over the last 40 mm-hmm. years, and maybe more aggressively since 2005.
Okay. So you use it for a lot of different things. You use your account. So you're talking about agriculture. You're talking about your foundation. You said you used it when the farm was up for sale and you sold the equipment. So that's interesting that it's found a lot of different ways for you to use it.
The funny thing about that was with like our equipment sale, TikTok mm-hmm. was the best form of advertisement I could have ever had, because we couldn't figure out, where do you advertise this stuff at? You know, newspapers or mm-hmm. Ag magazines, where do you go? But what we soon found out was the place to go was TikTok, because there is thousands of farmers on TikTok. And it ended up that through our sale, why we ended up 41% above appraised value. And I have to credit probably 80% of that was through TikTok, and probably 85% of all the equipment we sold went outside of about a 40-mile radius. I mean, we had equipment going clear to the state of Washington.
Now, the auction company, is that something that they've seen other customers do, or were they kind of surprised of you using TikTok?
No, our auctioneer was a local auctioneer, and part of the requirements that we had was we wanted to do several different ways, which at the time, keep in mind, we're still going through a pandemic, but we still wanted to be an on-site auction. We wanted to be an online auction, and then we needed to know what his percentage was of what he was going to charge. And, you know, and his ability to advertise was a big part of that. And so we ended up, you know, we attacked on Facebook. We got some response from there, but he was totally amazed at the response that was coming from outside of the area just because mm-hmm. of the influence off of TikTok.
That's amazing. That's an amazing story. So let's transition now and talk about your experiences, not just with TikTok, but with social media kind of in general as it relates to agriculture. You know, communication within agriculture has never been more accessible than it is right now. And with the rapid increase, you know, in smartphones and all of us have the internet, social media has become a player, you know, in the way that agriculture companies and growers communicate and market. So explain how social media has affected farming, in your opinion.
Well, it's interesting for me. Through TikTok and through what we experienced with Travis, we probably still would be kind of in a bubble. But what mm-hmm. what we've experienced, even in through YouTube, watching YouTube videos, and mm-hmm. there's some very good influencers out there that do a very good job. And my part of that is that I want to be a big advocate for agriculture. And mm-hmm. but yet I also want to promote what is good. But that's the thing, is that there's such a channel that you can reach so many people. But what most people don't understand is that when you farm in a certain area, you stay within your 25, 30 mile radius. But the things that I've learned since I've been on TikTok at my age has been astronomical, to be able to pick up something where someone's setting a combine or something different. But the other thing that farmers have a problem with is understanding too, is that there is a world outside of their area, and that through TikTok, they're able to experience what somebody in Montana does, or the state of Washington, or Iowa, and you get that experience of being able to see it firsthand. You know, there's a lot of the negativity stuff that comes out, but if farmers will handle it right, there is the greatest avenue for them to be able to promote what they do in agriculture, because I still today have not found anybody that is involved in agriculture that's not doing it the best economically they can and for the environment also. And what a lot of right. people don't understand is that if the farmers are mistreating the way that they handle their fertilizer, pesticides, chemicals, and so on, well, then it cuts into their profit. So that's the thing that people need to understand. And I got into a discussion a couple years ago. We was in Boulder, Colorado, and we happened to have some kids there that was promoting that Family Farms was ruining their drinking water. And what I found out was that they was just being given some information. Mm-hmm. It was an internship that they was being paid to do, but they didn't realize that their information was wrong, because what I told them was, I said, listen, what you got to understand is, I love my family very much, and mm-hmm. my family's eating out of the same food source that you are. So why would I do something that's going to damage the food source that you're eating out of, or my family? And that's right. what is hard for people to kind of understand. And you know, the folks that I see taking the biggest hit on any social media is the dairy industry. There's some really good people out there that's promoting dairy, and those folks just love their cows and love what they do, because that is a tough industry to be in, and it's hard for people to kind of grasp what that looks like on a daily basis.
Yeah. So it sounds like for you, you feel like social media in agriculture has expanded your horizons. It's connected you with other people, like-minded people, and it's educated you in some ways to see what other growers are doing.
Oh, absolutely. And I got to experience it kind of firsthand. Last year, there was a group out of Iowa that did a auction for our foundation. So what ended up happening was I told them, I said, well, this may be a silly thing, but how about I go somewhere for a week? You guys auction me off to go somewhere for a week and help somebody with harvest. And so I ended up in two locations. I ended up in Central Illinois, helping one farmer with his harvest last year for a week. And then I ended up in Montana, helping another farmer up there. And it was, you know, to be able to do that, and especially into Montana, and get to see green peas being harvested, and to see how they harvest wheat in the windrow and then barley. But it's been an experience for me to learn what's in different parts of the country. And that's what a lot of people don't understand too, whenever you talk to different farmers, is that for Montana, for instance, they get 11 inches of rain a year. We get 42 inches of rain here a year. And so it's hard for them to fathom why they farm different there than what we would farm different here. So yeah, it is definitely opened up my eyes to see what else is out there.
That's exciting. Let's talk about social media and in agriculture as it relates to maybe other ag companies. Do you use social media to follow ag companies or manufacturers to find out information?
Yeah, and I think this is a great place for companies to be able to get their message out quickly. And I think it's better than in an ag magazine or newspaper. Social media, we all have it, and it's all within our fingertips because we've all got a phone. Mm-hmm. And right, then that's what we're doing now. You know, way back whenever the internet first started and had that real weird sound coming on to it, that yeah, whatever you want to call it. But you know, the only way you could get it was sitting at a desktop.
Right.
Well, now it's all at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. And I see this as a way, but I also have to tell companies too, be careful. And it's the same thing with farmers, that get ready. You need to be, you need to have alligator skin, because there's going to be some truth. You know, there's going to be some people that's going to come at you, and you need to be prepared that, you know, you need to have an open discussion of why you promoted what you promoted and why you think it's a better product, because it will happen, and it will happen quickly. That's the thing that I see, is that I see that as an avenue for companies that can move quickly and can grow quickly.
So, Mike, do you use social media around your farm or personally to help solve a problem or figure out how to accomplish something?
Yeah, you can learn so much from the social media side of it. If you've got something that you really, and it's a, you got a couple different quick ways to resolve a problem when it comes to social media. You can put something on TikTok out real quick, and I'll guarantee you, you will get a response very, very rapidly. You can go to Google. But you know, the thing is with farming, don't ask Google, ask a farmer. Because that's your guys that are in the field. Those are the ones that are going to give you the resource that is what's working today. And it's what they have that they've seen that's been successful.
What would you say are some of the main barriers that keep some farmers, producers, growers from getting the most out of social media?
Time would be a big one. I mean, putting videos together is not that difficult, but sometimes you're just in a rush all the time, and it's hard.
Yeah,
I know some social media folks that are making a good living with their social media, that have went so far as to hire a video crew to come in and then have somebody do the editing because they don't have the time to go through that entire process. Age is not it. I've had farmers call me in their 70s and ask opinions and ask for advice. And I've had all the way down to 18 years old, same way. So that's been one thing for me, is that I've kind of been able to be an outreach to where, you know, and if I don't know the answer, I won't give you the wrong, what I think is the wrong answer. And, you know, if you ask my opinion, I'm going to give it to you. But if you don't ask my opinion, you probably won't get it. There's no age gap here with this stuff. It's been amazing to me that I think most farmers feel pretty comfortable. But yet there's a lot of them, too, that if you go in and look, there's a lot of them that just watch. I mean, I've had a lot of guys come up to me at different farm places and they'll tell me their name. And I'm like, I don't recognize you. Well, I don't never post anything. I'm just kind of a creeper. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the way that goes.
Sure. Do you find that there are people maybe in agriculture that have a certain level of fear or intimidation just about these apps or platforms? And if so, I mean, what would you say to someone like that about how to overcome that?
Yeah, I've seen some guys that start out, you can tell they're real nervous with it. And then after being on there a couple months, you can see that they loosen up and it's just a thing. Just jump in. Don't feel like you're intimidated by it. Just be yourself, you know, and just talk about what you know. It's kind of like anything you do as far as public speaking or anything. As long as you talk about what you know and what you have experience and what you feel like you're somewhat an expert at, then just run with it and don't worry too much. That's a good thing about social media, like with TikTok, is that if you don't like it, you can delete it and start over. And that's the good part is you can do all the editing in the world to get it the way you want it to be. I mean, I've had some that I've done 5, 6, 7 times and I'll go back and pull it back out and then start over.
So how did you decide to use the TikTok platform instead of YouTube or Instagram or Facebook?
I don't know. I just kind of stumbled onto it.
Yeah.
Because there was nobody in my close circle that was using it. I really don't even know how. It was just that, you know, we was all pinned down and didn't have nothing to do. And so you were just kind of searching for things to do. And so I don't even know how it come about. I really don't even know how that got started, but
sure,
it seemed to be something that was easy to acclimate myself to. Mm-hmm. Didn't seem like it was all that difficult once you learn. And there's still a lot of it that I see guys doing certain things and I'm like, how did they do that? And so there's still a lot on it that I still don't know.
Yeah. What are some of the trends that you see in social media from in agriculture or agribusiness marketing? Like, what are the things that you see that companies or individuals that are being successful in this arena are doing well?
They get an audience and they get a group of followers. And I think that a lot of times it's how the topic that you're going to talk about, is it intriguing enough that somebody's, I mean, some of the craziest stuff that I've put out there has had the most views on it. I did one a few weeks ago, was at our local golf course and had a company there that was pulling golf balls with a machine out of the bottom of all the lakes. I did a short clip video on that and it ended up with, I don't know, close to 125,000 views on that. And so it depends on if you've got a topic, I think, that is relevant. But yet, you know, like I touched on earlier with the fact about manufacturers is that, you know, you're going to find out real quick if you've engineered that correctly, because that's the thing is that with farmers, they're in the mix of that and they're working on, a piece of equipment every day. And some of the things that they come across just doesn't make sense why it may have been engineered that way. And so, you know, a lot of times when engineers need to really be in the trenches to understand the product that they've got out there, it may have seemed like it made sense on an assembly line, but when it come time to service it or put it into motion, then it may not have been anything that was beneficial.
Right. So a grower or a customer may use it in a slightly different way than what they designed it for or how they thought it was going to be used. And you're saying with social media, you'll get some honest feedback.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of honest feedback. But the other thing you got to remember, too, is that we as an agriculture society, they say we're 2% of overall population, but I think we're probably closer to 1%. And so every generation that goes by gets further removed from the farm. So we need to educate them of why we do what we do and the way we do it, and do it in a way that is not confrontational, but do it in a way that is educational. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to overlook that, because there's a lot that farmers do that people, it does not have a clue. There's a lot of people that go to the store, buy the food, that thinks their food's manufactured in the back room. And they need to understand where it all starts at and why it starts the way it does, and the reason why farmers do what they do and how they're able to do it in a way to be profitable and be successful.
So as it relates to agriculture equipment companies, the ones that you find yourself watching, maybe YouTube videos or Instagram, what kind of content are they putting out you find helpful or useful as a grower?
I think you got to kind of remember too, is that we all have a very short attention span. If you're putting out a video, let's say, of a piece of equipment, it needs to be pretty compact and pretty much to the point, and it needs to be educational along with it. It needs to be to a point to where that it makes sense to put in somebody's operation, to where it's something that can help them make money, that can help them be more efficient. Those are two big items with farmers. We was probably one of the first ones in the area that had any GPS on our equipment, along with yield data. And then, you know, we transformed over then into soil data and then auto track stuff. But it made sense. That was the reason why we went with it, was because it made sense. It made it more efficient. And it gave us information that we could tangibly use to help us make decisions to be more efficient and more profitable. And so, yeah, if you're a company that's putting something out there, if you can put it in the hands of a farmer and you can see how it's working, that is really beneficial, really quick.
Well, Mike, you've given us some great insights and feedback into your story and how social media in agriculture, you know, is kind of working and encouraging people to use social media as a way to help them understand farming and agriculture. Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners today? Anything else I've skipped over?
Yeah, there's a couple things that, you know, that I think that probably needs to be touched, and that is the fact, which one, which social media, you know, which one is connecting with people. I don't think that I have a stack of magazines over here right now that I just don't have time to go through. And I just think that day and age, when the snow's flying, you might pick one up and see it, but figure out what avenue works for you, whether it be YouTube or Twitter or TikTok, whatever is the easiest for you to be able to convey what you're trying to accomplish. Figure out what you're trying to accomplish first. And some of it is just having a good time. You know, we've made some great friendships throughout the United States through TikTok. We've been in 22 states in the last 18 months. And it has grown to a point to where we've got people doing fundraisers for our foundation. And that's the main reason why, is that, you know, we found a platform and found people that trust what we're doing and how we're trying to take care of people and educate them in what we do. And I can't thank that part of it enough. But yeah, you just got to jump in there with both feet. Don't be bashful, because you may have a landowner that doesn't really know what you do every day. And maybe you can educate that landowner. Maybe you can use your social media platform in a way that maybe some other neighbor sees it and you help them. Or maybe you even, you know, you're able to communicate with a landowner that's close in your area that, you know, there's different ways that it can be beneficial for you that, if you're not in it, it's not going to make a difference, but you got to get in it.
Sure. Well, that's great wisdom. Thank you for sharing that. And Mike, tell us a little bit about the Travis Burkhart Foundation that you mentioned earlier.
We started the foundation because our son was involved in a car accident in 2008. And we ended up that we was in the hospital for 5.5 months. And it was a pretty traumatic experience on our family. Changed the whole aspect of our future for our family. At the time, we did not think it would. We thought it would be a short-term thing where we would be in and out. But we ended up in the first 16 months, one of us, either my wife or I, lived out of a hotel. And we had so much help from the community, churches, people that we didn't even know. And so after the dust had kind of settled from all that, we became a legal foundation in 2009. Started helping families, assisting them with things such as maybe their deductible, maybe it's gas to get back and forth to appointments, maybe it's a hotel stay. We've bought 21 iPads for autistic kids. So we've done a whole realm of different things over the period of time. We have a 13-person board that makes these decisions. And it's been to the point now to where we have gave out $335,000, have helped families almost 1,400 times. And it's a thing of where it's not just a one-time help. It can be monthly. We've got families that we've helped since 2015, and here we are 7 years later. So it's a continuous process, but we've seen the need and the financial strain that it can put on a family. So we decided that, hey, let's jump in this thing and see if we can give back. Because God had kind of guided us in a way that we couldn't understand what we was trying to accomplish. And we was very blessed with the fact that we had the ability and the flexibility because I farmed that I could still help with our son's recovery. And a lot of people don't have that flexibility. So we was very fortunate that way. But we had some things that happened here on the farm. And it was just kind of God's way of just tapping us in the head with a hammer and saying, I need you to be more involved with what you're doing with your foundation and less involved with the other things in your life. And so we was managing a convenience store and we had a farm and we basically ended up retiring from the farm. And that's when everything kind of really grew with what we was doing. We was helping in Southern Indiana and now we're helping families all over the United States.
That's an amazing story. And I know personally, the foundation is, you know, making a big difference in the lives of so many people. So our listeners can find you on Facebook. Just do a search for Mike Burkhart, and they can also find the Travis Burkhart Foundation on Facebook as well. You can follow Mike Burkhart on TikTok at FarmingTBIDad. If you enjoyed this episode, remember to like, share, subscribe to TopCon Talks Agriculture on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please like us, follow us, interact with us. We're always striving to create content that benefits growers and the agricultural community. I want to thank Mike Burkhart for joining us today. Mike, it's always a pleasure. Please give your wife our best and the rest of your family. I also want to say a huge thanks to each of our listeners. We appreciate you taking the time to join the TopCon Talks Agriculture podcast.